You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome into the Prospect Profits, presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I am your host, Alec Polito, joined as always by my co-host, Lorenz Leinweber. On today's show, we'll be discussing the NFL Week 8 and College Football Week 9. This is a daily podcast feed filled with analysts and experts providing unmatched insight into the NFL, college football, and fantasy football. We provide this feed ad-free, and all we ask in return is you leave us a 5-star rating, which shouldn't be too hard. Check out our written content at si.com/NFL/draft. Lorenz, let's get into this thing, but before we do, how was your weekend, man?
It was good, you know, jam-packed football weekend for me.
Oh, yeah.
Couple of great games. Now we're sort of awaiting the college football playoff committee, the rankings. Yes. You know, I'm sure we're going to get into those next week. We might have a couple of predictions here, just sort of seeing where we're slating those teams. But just a great slate of games. Fun games to watch, and really a lot of games where these prospects were standing out. So I'm feeling great. How are you today?
Dude, I am doing good. This is my favorite part, I think, is talking about it after the weekend with you. I think what we get to Mondays, although I do have to watch my – obviously, we record this on Mondays. I do have to watch the New York Giants get probably decimated by the Kansas City Chiefs tonight. But, I think this is my favorite part. I love talking about it after the weekend's over. I do love the tailgate show where we get to predict. But I like the reaction part, I think, a little bit better.
You know, so, I love throwing out some wrong predictions.
Oh, it's the best. I love sitting on the tailgate show and making an absolute fool of myself each weekend. This weekend, I obviously was not on, so I didn't get to get every single prediction wrong. So I'll just get every reaction wrong here. We'll make it a thing here. Go ahead. Yeah,
I will say I was right about those BYU Cougars.
Yeah. Well, yes, sir. I did miss the tailgate show this weekend, not only being on it, but I didn't get to see it. So is there any predictions that you want to apologize for or call out and say, hey, I got that?
I thought Penn State, Ohio State, they were favored by like 19 points. And I was kind of saying, you know, if you're kind of feeling it, that might be a good bet. Although I felt like that was baiting you to take Penn State. Obviously Penn State's right. A little bit better than that.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit. Maybe they aren't the, you know, worst team in the world, even though they lost to Illinois. But, hey, let's get into college football. That's a great segue right here. We want to talk about some of these college football games that went on Saturday that deserve some talking about, right? So the biggest game of the weekend that everyone saw on the schedule, number 8 Michigan State takes down number 6 Michigan 37-33, and we might have a new Heisman favorite, maybe. Kenneth Walker goes for 23 carries, 197 yards, 5 touchdowns. I think he also had like 3 receptions for 11 yards. That's not really important to his stat line, but 5 touchdowns, 197 yards in a game against the number 6 team in the country. Lorenz, I think this was a ridiculous performance. I don't think that people need to hear me say that, though. I think they're pretty clear that that's some ridiculous numbers. What were your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I mean, great battle coming back from Michigan State. You know, I don't know that Michigan felt like they put them away, but they were certainly in the lead and sort of in the driver's seat to win this football game. Then a couple of clutch plays, hell of a call there on that slot fade type route on 4th and 4. A great throw. You know, I thought the quarterback made some great throws. Obviously, Kenneth Walker, what he was doing was outstanding. There was a Heisman-type moment. Mm-hmm. If they come out of the Big Ten, I don't know, and he keeps this up, I don't know how you don't give it to him. But, yeah, a lot of respect for Mel Tucker. He's really done something with this program that nobody thought was possible. They're a legit team. They're now, what, 9-0, 8-0? I think that they go into this 8-0. Matter of fact, it's they're unbeaten. They still have to face Ohio State, still have to face Penn State, might come back, play an Iowa team that's a little bit down. I think the Ohio State one is the big one that they'll have to circle. That's the big game now. They did beat Michigan, you know, close game. Michigan, a couple of balls bounced their way. They win this one too, but at the end of the day, you have the loss on there. And, yeah, this Michigan State team, I mean, lots of respect for Mel Tucker and what he's done there.
Yeah, and they jump up to number 5 in the most recent polls that just came out. And this is what they'll have to finish out the year here. Next week, they'll take on Purdue. Then they'll have Maryland.
It's not easy.
No, neither of those games are. I would say, I mean, I don't think Maryland is going to give them any problems, but they're not easy games per se, though Maryland is going to Michigan for that. Then they will travel to Ohio State on the 20th to
circle
face number 6 Ohio State. That's going to be the biggest matchup of the week, most likely. And then Penn State will go to Michigan State the 27th. Packed schedule. They're going to have to win out. You know, I mean, theoretically, they don't have to. They could lose that Ohio State game, come back and win the Big Ten still. But it's going to be, you know, they're going to have to play some good football.
If you lose against Ohio State and they win out, they'll be in the Big Ten championship. And that'll be that. They need to win that game. That's the big one. And right. You can probably afford to slip up versus one of these other games, because then you'll have the head-to-head against Ohio State to make it to the championship. But that's the big one, man. If they can win that one, that they're looking good. They're looking good for a Big Ten title and a playoff berth, let me tell you.
Yeah, if they can come out of the Big Ten, I don't see how they're not rewarded a playoff spot. But it is interesting because we talk about it again. Cincinnati's got a pretty easy path, and they're ranked number 2 in the country right now. We'll see what happens when the playoff rankings come out, but it's going to be tough to obviously unseat them. Oklahoma, who we're going to talk about here next in a second, this might be a perfect segue to it, number 4 in the country, and looks like they are just dominating and rolling with Caleb Williams behind the helm here. Alabama, I think, is number 3, and Georgia is number 1. Those two teams, though they're going to have to play each other again probably in the championship, those two teams are having phenomenal years. So it's going to be an uphill battle for Michigan State, which is why I think that they might have to win out here to get to the playoff. I don't know if a one loss Michigan State team gets in, but the way they played against Michigan, you got to give them all the credit in the world right here. And I can't wait for that Ohio State matchup. Let's get into Oklahoma though. We got Oklahoma. They dominated Texas Tech this weekend, 52-21. Caleb Williams, who is becoming, might I say, one of the best quarterback prospects in college football right now. 23 of 30, 402 yards and 6 touchdowns, really works that offense well. And then Spencer Rattler actually comes in the fourth quarter here and goes 5 for 5, 67 yards and a touchdown. Lincoln Riley says the reason for him doing it was to put all questions to doubt. Spencer Rattler is a great teammate. Thoughts?
I mean, first of all, Caleb Williams, what a revelation he's been as an 18 or 19-year-old playing at such a high level. I think the poise was apparent in that Red River rivalry game, and he's just continued to make plays from that quarterback position, feeling more and more with playing more and more within himself in that offense every single week. He can make the magic happen. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, we're looking way ahead, but he's showing the type qualities as a freshman that really project to being a first-round pick. A lot of stuff can happen. A lot of things can go wrong during that time, but he's not making a lot of mistakes. Sure, there's going to be some here and there, but he's been remarkable. He's been awesome. And then on the Spencer Rattler side, I mean, he's going to have to transfer. He's doing well to sort of not being an issue there right now, but he's been beat out. He's still a talented guy. I think it's good for him, and it's the most Lincoln Riley can really do in a blowout to get him out there. And then for him to perform well, 5 for 5, 67 yards, the touchdown, that's great, showing off the arm talent. That's, I think, the best that he can do this year. I mean, he could have shut it down. I mean, I that would have been a really bad look, but he's making the most of it. So you got to give him some credit there. And he's putting his name out there, you know, for some team, and they'll be lining up to take him on as a type of transfer quarterback. With this behavior that he's showing now, he's definitely hiring his stock, and he's going to have to, or he's going to get to pick, take his pick of the litter. There you go.
No, he's going to have tons of suitors. I would really love to see him in, you know, if we're talking about an Ole Miss team that is going to lose Matt Corral this year, even if they were to get an Arch Manning, which obviously I know that they're all in on, he still has a whole year of high school left. He's not coming in next year, you know? So,
and Rattler, he's going to be planning to be one and done wherever he goes.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. He's got a really great situation, because even if you're a team that pulls in an excellent quarterback prospect, usually you want that 18-year-old to sit at least a year. You know, you don't want them to come in and have to play. Obviously, depends on the program, depends on the coaching, depends on the skill level of the player. But he's going to have basically his pick of the litter for most schools, because, you know, he's a super talented guy. If you're telling me that all the off the field stuff is unquestioned, you know, like we're all set on it, and then you're telling me he's coming into these games, which, think about it, with the type of prospect he is, I got to say kudos to Spencer Rattler, because it is not easy for your pride, after going into this year, likely number one overall pick or likely number one overall quarterback, right? Sure, some people had him different, of course, but I would say most of us at least saw the skill in Spencer Rattler, where we're like, all right, there's a really good chance he goes number one. To put your ego aside and let Caleb Williams come in, and he has played way better than Spencer Rattler has. Caleb Williams deserves the starting job. To come back into this game in a blowout situation where backup quarterbacks are coming in just to get some reps, and to play that well and have Lincoln Riley come out after the game and say, hey, this guy's a phenomenal teammate. Kudos to Spencer Rattler, really, because a lot of talk recently since he's been benched is that, oh, he's going to leave. He's a horrible teammate. He can't handle the fact that Caleb Williams is better. You got to give him credit where credit is due. Now you're going to see a school really go all in on Spencer Rattler and probably give him the keys to the castle for a season. He wants to be one and done, as he should be, but hopefully he can rewrite the ship, because again, there's talent there. Don't question it. There's an arm talent there. He is a good quarterback. Can he mentally handle the game? Can he show that he can figure it out? He could still end up being a high drafted quarterback next season if he goes to the right situation and plays well. So kudos to Spencer Rattler.
If he learned his lesson, this might be career saving type for him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We saw it last year. He gets benched in the Red River rivalry, but Caleb Williams wasn't there to take his spot. Now Caleb Williams is obviously same story rewritten, but of course, Rattler's not getting that job back. And Oklahoma, excited for them to go to the college football playoff here, because I would love to see Caleb Williams against that Georgia or Alabama defense, which is filled with NFLers. If they could get to that college football playoff, that might be the best tape we're going to see on Caleb Williams it's going to be the best tape we could see on Caleb Williams this season. And we're projecting forward to 2024 for his draft, but How is this kid not at the top of the list right now? You know,
I guess he's got to be. He right? was coming out of high school, and man, yeah, that's the one offense with the respect that I have for Lincoln Riley. I mean, they'll have to step it up on defense for sure, but right. that's the one offense that I could see challenging Georgia even a little bit more than Alabama. Being completely honest, I mean, there's not a huge gap there. But I just think Lincoln Riley as a preparer, as a game planner, does a little bit more than Bill O'Brien for me.
And honestly, and I hate to keep harping on this game, we'll move on after this. But honestly, that defense may not be there this year, or it's definitely not there this year. But if you're talking about recruiting, if I'm a high school player and I'm seeing what Caleb Williams is doing, and now he's gonna get two more years, I assume that's it. It's going to be 2 years after this, and then he's going to go to the draft, would be my assumption. But you have two more years. This Oklahoma team is always competitive. If I'm if I'm a senior in high school right now that hasn't committed, or a junior that's going through the committing process, that might be the spot to go, and they could potentially be a championship contender pretty soon. But let's move on here. We got number 18 Auburn beats number 10 Ole Miss 31-20. Did you get eyes on this game? I saw Matt Corral. I didn't actually watch this game. I saw Matt Corral didn't put up the stats that he's been putting up over the season, but did you get any eyes on this game?
Yeah, great job by this Auburn secondary and pass rush to really make life difficult on Matt Corral. And yeah, it's a secondary filled with NFL players. Talk about Smoke Monday, the safety. Mm-hmm. You got Roger McCreary, the corner, who NFL teams are extremely high on. Nehemiah Pritchett is another corner who I know our friend shout out Kellen is really a big fan of. And Corral, those are the type of defenses that are going to challenge him, where they take away his easy throws that he's been making so well, and really ask him to go beyond that first read, make something happen himself. He's got the physical ability to do it, no doubt, but they've done a great job to not get him into those positions. And if he has, he's been able to run. Zakobi McClain, that linebacker there, he's super undersized. I think his worst case in the NFL is going to be a stud special teamer. But he was not fooled by that offense all game long. I know Tank Bigsby on the offensive side for the Auburn mm-hmm. Tigers, he's a stud. I mean, talk about next year's run back class. You got Bijan Robinson, Tank Bigsby. You got Jahmyr Gibbs over there at Georgia Southern. I mean, Deuce Vaughn's a fun little player who fits today's NFL really well. But right. Tank Bigsby, if you really want to get a dude that can get north and south, like for certain schemes, they might even value him higher than Bijan Robinson, because if he gets going with 6'2", 220, he might be 230 by the time he comes out, and he gets ahead of steam, boy, is he tough to stop. And then what another guy is probably declaring next year is Bo Nix. I just don't see him coming out this year mm-hmm. because he's still getting better, and he's right now – I don't know that he ever had a draft stock. Honestly, I just think that was the recruiting speaking into him and why he was being hyped up. But another season within that offense, we've seen the magic that he can make happen on the occasional play. He's now using that arm strength. He's now using his tools. I think he's mm-hmm. a little more accurate to play within that offense. I'm still not saying he's a great NFL prospect, but just that size, that arm, these type of things are probably going to get him drafted. Not this year, but next. I'm guessing him and Tank Bigsby are going to be heading that Auburn backfield for another season. And if Bo Nix can take another step, I could see us talking about Bo Nix as an NFL prospect, because he did outplay, and I know that's super simplistic and way too easy, he did outplay Matt Corral on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, again, I did not see this game, so I'm not going to react to what happened in the game. But, I can't sit here and say that I've ever seen Bo Nix as an NFL player. It's not someone that I've particularly been high on in the past, but another year in that offense, he's clearly improved.
He's been better this year. That's what I'm saying. Like I'm not going to die on the Bo Nix hill or anything, but it's time to take him seriously.
Yeah. And there's honestly, you go from this year where I thought there was a chance he could get benched going into the season to he's clearly the quarterback there and continue to improve here. You don't know, you never know. I could see him potentially getting some looks next year. Let's get to this Georgia Florida game here. Georgia handles business here, but you wanted to talk about some things in this game, so I'm gonna give you the floor.
Yeah, first of all, what a game. I mean, it was 3-0 mm-hmm. for a long time there, and then a couple minutes before the half, Florida tried to run their 2-minute offense, and that defense, I think, forced 3 turnovers. They went into the half leading 24-0, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And I just want to talk – I mean, this defense we've talked about for a long time. I just want to talk about N'Kobe Dean real quick and what his NFL draft stock or what I anticipated to be. So it's a weak linebacker class. It's not a great linebacker class, which is why I think people are looking for someone to put in that first round. And I love N'Kobe Dean. As a college football player, I think how smart he is, how good of a leader he is, all these things obviously show up if you watch that team and how vital and important he is mm-hmm. to that Georgia defense. I just think he's someone who's in the 220s. He is maybe 6 foot. I'm guessing he's right at that 6 foot mark. And he is going to run probably not below 4.5s. I would anticipate him to run in the 4.5s. And just from a measurements perspective and standpoint, it is tough to get drafted in the first round with those type of measurements for linebacker. I mean, you got to be really special athletically. And this goes for almost every position to be, or at least you got to be a really good athlete to be a first-round pick. I love N'Kobe Dean. I think someone's going to get a stud, longtime starter at linebacker who might make a Pro Bowl here or there. I just don't think that his draft stock, I just don't think that the NFL, unless really he interviews and coaches fall in love with him, because I think coaches at the end of the day are going to like him more than the NFL personnel people. And it's not a knock on him. Mm-hmm. You got to be special. You got to be great to be a first round prospect. I just think he's going to slip into that day two range. It's like I said, it's not a knock on N'Kobe Dean, but you got to do a lot of things to be a first round pick.
Yeah. We've talked about it. There's really just not that many linebackers, I think, that can get into that first round range. Obviously, if you follow the show, I've talked a lot about Devin Lloyd. That's a guy I really like for this linebacker class. And I do think he'll finish out with a first round grade for me. Might be the only linebacker with that first round grade next to his name. N'Kobe Dean, I liked in summer scouting a lot. I think we talked about him when we did the Georgia show. We definitely talked about him. I definitely liked N'Kobe Dean. We'll see, obviously, going into the draft here, he's going to be a hot topic in draft circles. So
he's good. I'm high on him. Just how high is too high and exactly unrealistic. I think that's the conversation with him.
Yeah. So we'll get into that obviously as the season ends and we dive into his tape. But last game we want to talk about on the college football side here, Ohio State handles business against Penn State. They, however, did not cover the spread. They did not cover the 19.5 spread. You wanted to talk about a matchup here, which is a real intriguing one in the draft, on the draft side. Rashid Walker, I feel like I'm not seeing him anywhere anymore. Before the season, we were talking about him potentially as a top half of the first round player. At least he was in that conversation. He has dropped off significantly. Tyreek Smith went up against him. You want to talk about this matchup a little bit?
Yeah, Rashid Walker, the left tackle there, he's still well-liked among NFL circles. I know he has been really discussed in on the media side, still probably a top 100 pick. Tyreek Smith is their defensive end there. He was hurt to start the season, someone who's been somewhat new to football. Started off playing, I think, as a sophomore in high school. He's a local guy from Cleveland, chose Ohio State. He's been productive for this team for a couple of years now, obviously with a legendary defensive line coach there. That's great for a raw guy like him, but I thought he won this matchup decisively. He repeatedly made Sean Clifford throw the football earlier than he wanted. He had a sack. He had a forced fumble, and I thought he was a big, big reason in this matchup with two NFL prospects. He was a huge reason for why Ohio State was able to win this game. And you can get into the offensive side of the Ohio State Buckeyes, who are really good and really rolling right now. But I thought Tyreek Smith deserved a shout out here because he was really, really good on Saturday.
Yeah, I do want to discuss the offensive side here, obviously going against a pretty good defense with Penn State. And I shouldn't say pretty good. They're a very good defense, a lot of defensive prospects on that side of the ball. But, you know, the offensive side here, we've got, you know, I would say potentially one of the best wide receiver duos in the nation, right? Or I shouldn't say potentially. Draft eligible, right? We got Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson on this side. Jeremy Rucker has gotten a ton of talk in draft circles of potentially one of the top tight ends. I don't see him as one of the top tight ends, but he's certainly a potential draftable tight end.
Oh, no doubt.
Probably going to see him at the Senior Bowl. I still have concerns with his blocking. I mean, there's effort there, but it's a little bleak. But when you talk about as a pass catcher, phenomenal player, really is.
His, His entire game, I think, is just predicated on being consistent. I think he obviously looks great. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you were building a tight end in the lab, I think he's got good athleticism. And then yes. He can show it as a blocker. He can flash it. Just a matter of being able to do it consistently. I think that's what's really hurt him, I guess, a little bit for why he's not that top guy. But they're finally utilizing him, started off doing that last year. So that's great.
And you got that offensive line. I mean, Penn State, we know it. I mean, I'm sorry, not Penn State. Ohio State, we know it. They're very good at getting this offensive line going. But I do think that there's some players there. What are we the Ohio State quarterback situation is so intriguing to me because there's three guys there. And there's now talk about potentially Quinn Ewers transferring because of how well they've played right now. The starting quarterback's name is eluding me right now.
CJ Stroud.
Right. Stroud, who is, I think, next year eligible. McCord is the year He's after a good that. Player. And then Kyle McCord, or is it Kyle McCord? Is it? I know the last name is McCord. He's eligible next year. He was a five-star recruit coming out. Likely, if he stays there, he'll be the quarterback after Stroud leaves, who has looked really good this year. And then the year after that would be Ewers would get 1 year of starting. I don't know if he'll stick around for that. I'm guessing he'll try and get I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, go to Texas or A&M. Play for Sark or
right?
Or Jimbo. No doubt. Yeah. Those guys are great coaches. I mean, if you got to sit for another two seasons at Ohio State, absolutely not. You're too good for that.
Right.
If there's another season, I mean, that's already rough. I mean, theoretically, he's still a senior in high school from his age, so he can afford to sit this year. If he can afford to sit next year, but you don't want to sit in 2023. I mean, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah. I would love to see him in that Sark offense, but we'll see where he ends up at the end of the season. I just can't imagine him sticking around for that. Let's get into some NFL topics here. We'll go rapid fire with these because we're more college football driven, but there's a couple things that happened in the NFL that want to talk about. First of all, the big news that comes out today, Derrick Henry might be out for the season. It is a Jones fracture. He's out at least 8 weeks. Going to have to get surgery on that. Could be back for the playoffs. If they make it, this offense is predicated on Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry out. Jeremy McNichols, all the respect in the world, is no Derrick Henry. Cannot maybe, carry the workload.
Maybe half, like physically and
probably. Yeah, maybe half. And that's saying something. But yes, Jeremy McNichols is not running this. You have any thoughts for the Titans on what they could do here?
I just saw earlier, I think it was Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter. They put out they might be working out Adrian Peterson, who
and that's not a bad idea.
That'd be fun to see. Yeah. I mean, I don't know who's out there on the market right now. Right. It really sucks for the kid out of App State. Name's escaping me right now, who was
Darrington Evans.
Darrington Evans. He's been placed on season ending IR a couple weeks ago, which he's been dealing with injuries all year. I don't think he played a game this season. But this would have been his chance for a guy who I liked in that zone running scheme. Definitely sure. a bit more of an outside zone guy. But Derrick Henry won't replace him. I don't care who they bring in.
The other name that was intriguing to me on this was I think Rappaport had tweeted out some potential names, but then put so this one was really intriguing, but. He put unlikely next to it. It was Melvin Gordon. I don't hate that at all. If they could make that work, but I don't know why it's unlikely because if I'm the Broncos and I could get something out of him in a season where we're probably going to end up being a wild card at best. And if I'm being honest with you, I still expect them to take fourth in that division. Cause I think the Chiefs will eventually get it going with Patrick Mahomes and then the Chargers and the Raiders look better. So I still expect them to be fourth. Why not trade Melvin Gordon for a mid-round pick and let Javonta Williams work, him going?
Couple guys on the free agent market. Todd Gurley, Adrian Peterson, Frank Gore, Deontay Foreman, that might not be a bad one. Jordan Wilkins, I think, is a good player. The Colts have had so many running backs. Kerryon Johnson, I think it's over with him. Darius Geis. Bo Scarborough has been out of Alabama. He's a similar type guy. I mean, if you want to bring two guys like a Deontay Foreman, Bo Scarborough, and keep rolling with Jeremy McNichols. Effort Morris, I think that's over. TJ Yeldon's been more the receiving type guy. And then Ito Smith.
Right.
I don't know. If you can make a move for a guy like a Melvin Gordon, I saw someone out there. I'm sure this is not going to happen, but the 49ers should trade Trey Sermon, man. As a 49ers fan, I'd be all over that because Trey Sermon's not looking great so far. I think he'd be a better fit in that type of offense.
Yeah, and then projecting him as a backup for Derrick Henry for years, I think I like that. You know,
I'm not sure that's going to happen, but like a guy like a Melvin Gordon, I think that'd be a great get. What would you trade for half your rental on Melvin Gordon? Maybe fourth round pick if the Broncos.
That's what I'm saying. Well, I'm the Broncos, why am I not doing that? Because, you know, let's be real here. I don't think that Melvin Gordon adds that much more to that offense than Javonte Williams, if anything. And I'd rather see Javonte Williams get the keys. He's a phenomenal running back.
Melvin Gordon's good, but you're not bringing him back. Like, are you winning the Super Bowl? You're competing for the playoffs for what it's worth. But if you don't make the playoffs, you keep Melvin Gordon around. I mean, I don't know. I know fourth round pick isn't game changing or anything, but I don't know. I'd like that.
Yeah, I would. Moving on from that, we got the Lions looked horrible against the Philadelphia Eagles, and just the Lions looked terrible, man. I mean. They're the first team, I think, to go 0-16, and now they might be the first team to go 0-17, as they are 0-8. And I look forward, and of course the Lions are our Thanksgiving game, and they, as they always are, and they'll play the Chicago Bears, so that's going to be not a fun one. Might lose my appetite watching that right before dinner. That's horrible, but. Yeah, the Lions look terrible. Anything on this?
I don't know. I mean, they're competing with the Texans for the number one overall pick. I mean, at least the Texans, they got blown out, killed by the Rams, but at least they showed some fight late.
Right.
I thought both these teams have been showing some fight, but maybe they've – it's going to be tough for these coaches because these players might have just checked out. That's certainly what it looked like for the most part in both games.
Yeah, it was definitely not so great. Now Mike White played really well this weekend. I'm not even going to get into this really, but just to say it, he played well. So Zach Wilson, maybe
on the hot seat.
On the hot seat, yeah. But that's all we got for today. I did want to talk about some of the teams that are playing really well in the NFC, but all I want to say on it is I think we're going to be set up for really good playoffs in the NFC. So it should be fun. But we'll save that for the end of the season when we really start to get that coming together. I think that we'll just wait for the end of the season to talk about those games. But thank you guys for listening to the Prospect Profits presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. We will be back with more Prospect Profits next week, but be sure to tune in to hear from our friends on Dynasty Draft Room tomorrow. And stay tuned to hear more from us on Thursday and Saturday.